Just before I begin the sermon this morning, can I just remind you that you can join our Zoom worship for Advent Sunday by going to the St. Paul's Anglican Church Athens website, where you will find the login address. You can also download from there the order of service for this Sunday's service. You will find that this is the same login address for the next few Sundays, unless we hear from the government that there has been an easing of restrictions, in which case the same login address will take you right into the very heart of St. Paul's Church for our worship there. From the 1st of December till the 23rd of December, there will be a service of night prayer, Compline at 9 o'clock Athens time, and you can log into that by going to our website also. This is a sermon preached on Advent Sunday 2020 at St. Paul's, and the readings are Isaiah 64 verses 1 to 9 and Mark 13, 24 to 37. I have to begin with an apology. An apology to all those who weren't brought up in the United Kingdom with the children's television programme called Blue Peter. Please allow for a few moments of nostalgia. Every year at this time of year, the Blue Peter team would make their own version of an Advent crown. John Noakes, Peter Purvis, and Valerie Singleton are among the names that I recall from my early childhood. This is in the 1960s. Two wire coat hangers, some silver tinsel, four candles. No, I didn't say fork handles. Four candles and four Christmas baubles, and that transformed into their Advent wreath. This activity always forewarned us that Christmas was approaching and we should be getting ready. Advent candles on the television, Advent candles in church. The season of Advent is now here. A new church year begins today, and a new set of Sunday readings on our three-year cycle of readings also begins today. As we might say, our countdown to Christmas begins today. Advent appears to be a time of beginnings. Strangely enough, in the old days, for example, when I was much younger, the preachers for these four Sundays of Advent used to preach not about four themes of beginnings, but four themes on endings. The themes were what we call eschatological, the four last things, being death, judgment, heaven, and hell. I suppose these themes would indeed sharpen the expectations of the believers. But it seems a long way from the coat hangers and the tinsel of the Blue Peter Advent crown. In more recent liturgical developments, other themes have become dominant for Advent consideration, all of them equally focused in some way on expectation, that valuable Advent quality of waiting, watching, anticipating, all in relation to the birth of the Messiah, the Saviour. Advent is deep and rich and profound in the way that this whole holy season holds together almost the whole content of God's holy narrative of creation and salvation in Christ. How is this so? Well, we have become accustomed in these days to be familiar with travel corridors or bridges, safe routes for flying in our COVID-gripped world. I'd like to suggest that the holy season of Advent is like a theological travel corridor, a season of bridge building. Advent directs us to the departure points and arrival points. Advent is the corridor between the beginnings of the world, creation, and at the end of its 4 weeks, the birth of the new creation. It is the corridor between the prophetic voices of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Joel, Nahum, Obadiah, and all the rest, and the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the highway," namely John the Baptist. All the prophets were in some way forerunners of the Messiah, in one form or another, but John is the forerunner, the prodromos, as he challenges us to get a straight corridor ready for the arrival of the Christ, the Silk Road to salvation. The Advent themes connect us with Holy Week and with Easter, oddly enough. In the Western Church, we think of the arrival of the bridegroom at the wedding, an allegory for the arrival of the Word made flesh. Yet in the Eastern Church, that bridegroom theme occurs when Christ enters into the holy city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Departures and arrivals. One of the Sundays in Advent is set aside for us to consider the Mother of God, Blessed Mary, and the Annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel. Advent prepares us for the crib and redirects us almost immediately to the cross. As the Blessed Mary's womb empties in a new childbirth, so the empty tomb pours forth a new creation, the risen Christ. What a tapestry of themes, and these are but a few of them, that are woven into the rich brocade, this dazzling damask of Advent. All of God's divine work is expressed in this holy season. So it is a season for us to be expectant, just as Blessed Mary was, literally. For us to be full of Christian proclamation, as John the Baptist was. To be watchful, as were the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem. And to be ready. To be ready for a renewal of our faith, to celebrate the birth of the Saviour, and to be born again. Advent tells us that this is the time, and now is the moment. Advent is not a time to slow down and keep time under control, but is, as one author says, not an appeal to waste time with meaningless inactivity, but a call to engage one's vocation, one's relationships, one's hope, one's life in God, in an active presence, a holy waiting. It is not a matter of waiting for things to happen, but a matter of what happens to us, to you, and to me. Words of J. Neil Alexander in his book, Waiting for the Coming. Advent is about the expectant now, the anticipated present, or what theology might call a realized eschatology. All words so far, yes, but learn from the fig tree. Oh, at last a picture to think about. The fig stands bare. Suddenly, without any warning, the buds appear from nowhere. Before you realize it, those massive green leaves adorn the branches, and from its branches, little bulbous growths begin to form, which develop into a wonderful, ripe fig, full of seeds and potential new growth within each one. You can easily follow the annual cycle of the fig, and you can tell the season. You know the time of year. Why can't we understand God's glorious activity among us and within us? Why are we so dull to read God's seasons? From our back balcony, we look out onto the backs of rather unattractive blocks of apartments, and we look directly into a dentist's surgery, so we can see people in their time of fear, and we sometimes hear the drill. However, in the garden down below us, there are two or three wonderful, massive fig trees. We watch the seasonal changes. We can tell the season. Sadly, all the figs are way beyond reach, even from the balcony. I don't know what this is telling me, but maybe that's for another sermon at another time. from the fig tree, learn about the advent of our Lord. Know that he is near. He is at the very gates. Read the signs. Be awake. Be ready. Two wire coat hangers. Some silver tinsel. Four candles. And four Christmas baubles. And there you have your Blue Peter Advent wreath. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee.